First responders arriving at the scene of a derailed Amtrak train in Philadelphia Tuesday night encountered chaotic and terrifying scenes. Passengers emerging battered and bloody, many with severe injuries. Several people were killed. Such horror often has a lasting impact on the mental health of first responders, and the field of helping them cope has grown by leaps and bounds ever since the terrorist attacks of 9/11. Joining us now to discuss what helps first responders deal is University of Pennsylvania psychiatrist Stephen Berkowitz. He is a nationally known expert on the impact of traumatic experiences. Stephen, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
What are some of the emotional issues first responders deal with?
Well, just like any human being, they have responses to overwhelming, upsetting events. Irritability, not feeling quite yourself, maybe sleep problems, maybe difficulty relating to others. One of the interesting things that happens is, who do you talk to about what you experienced, what you saw? And you don't want to expose your family to it. You don't want to expose your children to it. So you feel somewhat isolated.
When do those kinds of issues become a real problem?
They often become a real problem, but in various ways. We often think about post-traumatic stress disorder as the problem, but that maybe happens in 10 to 15% of people in these situations. But much more common are things like substance use after some of the major disasters, Oklahoma City and others. Alcoholism went through the roof in first responders. Divorce rates increased. So it's those sorts of things that are warning signs. You may not have PTSD, but it's the kind of wider range of functioning interaction that you often see in groups of first responders who are exposed to such horrific events.
How much has your field learned since September 11th? How much has changed?
A lot's changed. I think September 11th was the sentinel event that in many ways put trauma on the national agenda. That this is a real issue that doesn't just affect combat veterans, but affects everybody. But I also think there was that focus on the experience of first responders that really hadn't happened before. And we saw a lot of work being done trying to support first responders and a lot of mistakes being made. In New York, the officers and firefighters were ordered to get professional help, and that didn't go very well.
What helps first responders cope? For a while, I guess there was a lot of talk about debriefing and that everybody should debrief. What's the thinking right now?
Debriefing was done with the best of intentions. It was probably done incorrectly. The premise of debriefing, that first responders who have shared similar experiences are able to communicate with each other without feeling like they're overwhelming them, their partners or friends or whatever, is a really good idea. The problem with debriefing was a couple things. One, it was done usually as a one-off intervention, a one-time meeting, and we know that just doesn't work. In some situations, it can hurt, particularly for those who are not that symptomatic and listening to people who are really very symptomatic. The other piece is that it's probably done too early. Telling your story, your experiences when they're so raw is probably not the best way to do it. So currently what we think is really best is to provide basic skills in terms of relaxation, calming, coping, what are methods of coping and thinking, who is it that you can talk with and talk to, and really getting support within your agency and with your colleagues, whether you talk about the specifics of the event or not. Most importantly is to be able to be a group. We know that the protective factor is social support. The other really important piece is monitoring, to find out, who may be going down the pathway that needs more professional intervention.
What about the victims who survived this crash? What kind of supports will they need in the coming weeks?
There's a lot of similarities, obviously, and certainly support from friends and family is crucial. But that monitoring, again, is really, really important. One of the key ones, and it's just ubiquitous, is the sleep disturbance. And if that goes on for more than 3 or 4 days, you really need to think hard about getting some help. the symptom that seems to predict the worst outcomes and really is a sign to get help as soon as possible is what are called dissociative symptoms. Spacing out, losing track of time, you know, not knowing how you got from one place to the other. Yeah, we all do that to some extent, but meant more regularly. That's a very concerning sign. The other one is sort of an acute depressive reaction, where you really feel shut down, paralyzed, unable to do anything. I think importantly, too, we often think about, well, it's just the person who had the experience. But it's the whole family that's impacted. And the best interventions really involve everybody.
Stephen, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you again.